What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Devil Royale YouTube channel. Today, we are fixing the Las Vegas Raiders. We're going to go through free agency, housekeeping, an NFL mock draft. We're going up to seven rounds this time because of some trades. We've got some fun stuff in line for you. Make sure you stay tuned through the intro. We'll catch you on the other side. All right, the Las Vegas Raiders are an interesting team. They retained Antonio Pierce this offseason after a really solid finish to the season. He had them competing really hard. Brought in Luke Getsy, which is not my favorite move of the offseason for them, but some of his scripted plays indicate that there's something good there, perhaps. Randy, as a Raiders fan, how did you feel about that Getsy hire?
It was a little bit of okay, mainly because they were all linked to Cliff Kingsbury, and even that hire, to a certain extent, you're kind of saying, like, I get it. You just let him run the whole offense. You basically have a defensive head coach, an offensive head coach, and just roll with it. Where Getsy, I think maybe he gets more freedom. We don't really know how much limited play calling he was in the last system. We'll see how this one works out. This is his really – probably last chance to be an OC. So I hope he makes it work with hopefully above average quarterback play.
We'll see about that.
Start with the average.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Randy, also, let's get into some cut candidates because there are two major ones. One major one, but one that I think is probably on the bubble. Let's talk through that.
Yeah, so starting off, Jimmy G, it's already been reported he's going to be cut. He's serving a two-game suspension now for using enhancement drugs when he's trying to come back from the injury. The post-June 1st cut for him is $24 million, and Hunter Renfro's post-June 1st is $11.8. It's one of those, like, they don't have to do the post-June, but it's like $11 million for Jimmy G to not do it. I think like almost $9 million for Renfro to not do it. So I don't know why you wouldn't designate them both post June 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I say Renfro is probably on the bubble, Josh McDaniels clearly didn't want to use Renfro. He's still a good player. I just don't know if he's $11.8 million worth of a player. Exactly. So it might be one of those situations where they restructure his deal and maybe they retain him. But to me, it seems like a clean break is kind of necessary here. They've got Trey Tucker. We're going to talk through the depth chart a little bit more as we get through this. But those two then generate a salary cap. If you cut those two, we're sitting at $67.3 million. And then we're going to get into some housekeeping, and there's another thing that they can do to create more cap, which we are going to do because I had fun. So let's get right into it. So first housekeeping item, you have to retain Josh Jacobs, especially now that you have Luke Getsy, who really focuses in on the run and the rushing attack. In this case, we're keeping him for about $11.5 million per year. He's well worth that. He's one of the better backs in the NFL that, you know, don't pay running back crowd. I get it, but you're not going to get the production that you got out of Josh Jacobs from someone else, even though I like Zamir White. Andre James, we retained as well. We talk about the run game. These last two pieces are very important parts to that. So Andre James, $9 million average per year for 3 years. He played really well for them last year. So you kind of have to just retain the good players from the offense because we'll talk about the overhaul on defense here in a second, but Greg Van Roten, we'll bring him back. He, you know, not a long-term commitment, 1 year, almost $3 million, but slots in as your starting right guard. I think you're pretty comfortable with that, just based on how he played last year, but you're looking towards the future. You're looking to replace him down the road. Maybe you give him another 1 year deal next year, but we're not super concerned about that. Also, we're going to retain Amik Robertson, who's a good player that maybe hasn't reached his full potential yet. I've always been a fan of Amik, and I want to see him thrive. So we're going to bring him back as corner depth. Adam Butler, Jacob Johnson, Brandon Parker. We're bringing those guys back as well. Randy, you were the one that wanted to tender these three, Jordan Meredith, Isaiah Polamau, and Kenai Maga. How do you think that there's one of these guys that could step up and be a playmaker, or is it just kind of retain the depth that you know is good enough?
Yeah, it's more retain the depth that is good enough. You had to improve linebacker play last year, but Buaga is a rotational and special teams guy. I think he works out. Same with Polamalu. You really don't have a lot of depth in the secondary right now, so that's the biggest thing, and he's rotating in at all. It's a good thing for them. And really, the biggest thing with Jordan Meredith is right now he is the only backup guard on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty critical, especially with...
For $985K, I'll take it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And the last thing that we did, we restructured Devontae Adams' deal, saving us $10.5 million. So we're approaching free agency, including all this housekeeping stuff, with about $78 million, or close to it. So
they technically can also restructure, but more than likely extend Max Crosby, which they might do this offseason, which could free up more space, or they could front load the deal to take off some of this cap that we have.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, Randy, let's get into free agency. The fun part, because we spent a lot of money here.
It's Vegas. We gamble.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, starting off big with the defensive line. We went enormous with three pieces. Hopefully the player, personnel coach, defensive side, great mind on that side, can bring in some top-end defensive free agents. Bryce Huff, 3 years, $50 million. Christian Wilkins, 2 years, $41 million. Grover Stewart, 3 years, $33 million. We're going to just make this quite possibly the most dominant defensive line in football day one. We still have question marks in the secondary. We got room to grow. We got corners that like to try and make big plays. I'm happy to have that, but we need the defensive line to do that, as you see in Dallas. So getting a top-end edge rusher to actually pair with Max Crosby while Tyree Wilson kind of figures himself out inside, outside. He's going to rotate in with these guys. But Wilkins is just another guy to actually eat up the run for you, and because the Raiders need that desperately. And it also helps change the culture to what it's shaping up to be right now, which is just effort, hard work. We're not he is just him, Max Crosby together is such a pairing that should be illegal. So I'm hoping it happens. And then Grover Stewart is probably the second, maybe third best D tackle on the market. So getting him for around the same deal, a cheaper deal really than Wilkins, just a more long-term because he's a little bit younger, is an elite pay for you. Carl Lawson to be a rotational edge rusher for you until for 1 year at least to get Wilson up to speed more. The injury really derailed his rookie season, so I'm pretty much chalking it and hoping that this year is his real first rookie season. And then Devin White, we're taking a shot on the linebacker, 1 year, $7 million. Has been great, has been terrible, has been average. Let's hope we can get the great.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important to note that Tampa Bay is not going to be able to retain all of their free agents this year. Part of me thinks that Lavonte David's the one that they let walk. That said, they are also going to be cutting guys and doing kind of what we did and freeing up some cap space. There's a chance that they can get all of them but one. Devin White seems to be the odd man out because I think they're going to want to honor Lavonte David's run there. Mike Evans, same thing. And I think they want to bring Baker Mayfield back. So Devin White should be finding a new home, and we're doing it here in Las Vegas.
And franchising the quite possibly best free safety in football. So that takes up a lot of your money.
Yeah, that too. One thing I wanted to note, last year when Antonio Pierce took over, Malcolm Kuntz was really, really good opposite Max Crosby. And so now you're looking at probably 4 to 5 edge rushers that you can rotate in. And just with those two in on the interior as well, you're looking, like you said, at one of the most dominant defensive lines in football. You know, up there, you pulled two guys from the Jets. And it'd be up there with the Jets in terms of like just winning your pass rush assignment. I think Huff and Crosby would be virtually unstoppable together. So,
yeah.
All right, let's do a mock draft. So this is our favorite part of this. We're going to do six total picks. We do have a trade up. Randy, do you want to take the first pick this time so you can talk about the quarterback in the third too?
Yeah, so at pick 13, we want J.C. Latham, offensive tackle, Alabama. I think Talisi Fuaga, same thing, same spot, whoever's there. Just get a plug-and-play right tackle that you know is natural at it and can be dominant in the run and pass game. I love the D-tackle fits that we've been getting. I love the corner fits we've been getting, and honestly, some of the edge fits people have been drafting. But when we spend all the money on edge and D-tackle, we're going to get the other side in the first round, sure up the offensive line. We didn't pay our starting right tackle from last year because he was our worst offensive lineman. Now we draft, hopefully, the eventual best offensive lineman on our team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, great pick. J.C. Latham, underrated in the draft community. I think there's a lot to work with. The tools are crazy. I think he has some of the highest upside in this tackle class. The fact that you can slot him in at right tackle is critical. I also think in a pinch, maybe if he doesn't work out at offensive tackle, he's your right guard of the future. We also, as you can see on the screen, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see that we get a guard a little bit later, but Latham is one of those safe picks because he does have that movement ability that translates. So,
and it's not a reach like Alex Leatherwood.
You're right. Yeah. Folks get really hung up on, oh, why would they take another Alabama offensive lineman? Because Alabama offensive linemen are traditionally good. There have been two, Alex Leatherwood and Evan Neal, that were vastly overdrafted. Latham at this spot would not be overdrafting him. This would be a prime range for him. All right, pick number 44. We went with TJ Tampa, the corner out of Iowa State. This kid's going to be a riser at the combine next week. He is going to run really well. He's super long. I think he's going to jump out of the gym. He's a hard-hitting corner. He's still learning the position, so he's got great ball skills. He was, I believe, a former wide receiver. So he's got great ball skills, but some of the shadowing ability still needs to get up to par. However, I think this is one where we've seen him in like the third round and the late second in a lot of mocks. He's going to start to creep up. I think he'll start to get some first round buzz, but this is kind of that sweet spot to go start. I mean, he'd be your starting CB2 from opposite Jack Jones, I believe, from day one. So,
yep. And then another guy still learning his position slightly. Spencer Rattler, corner from South Carolina, with the first pick in the third round after the Raiders trade up. Trading their third-round pick this year, six, and one of their three seventh-round picks, and a sixth-round pick next year for the 65th pick. The Panthers need a lot of shots at the board to get more depth and some quality players, rotational players for this team. So it works for both teams. Raiders trade up to get a quarterback that could be there at 77, but I wasn't willing to wait. And also, we got so many picks. With the amount of money we spent, it'd actually kind of be smarter to unload a few picks try and free up some capital that way, in case you need to sign some people during the season or at camp. But Spencer Rattler, quarterback from South Carolina, another guy with a ton of ups and downs, great start to his career. Turmoil for 2 years, really. A guy that's played well in some games and in some really big games, terrible in others, but a guy that we've definitely seen mature consistently over the years. At this point, all we're hearing, especially out of the Senior Bowl, is teams raving about the guy, raving about what they saw from him, talking to him, doing any kind of meetings, what they saw on the field. He was arguably the best quarterback of the Senior Bowl throughout the whole process, including the game. Because some didn't really play both and some struggled. So he was consistent on and off the field at the Senior Bowl. I think that cemented him into the third round.
Yeah, if not second, I think this trade-up is necessary. I think that was a good call by you. That said, I think 65 might be a little too far. I think there's a chance that Rattler goes before Penix, just based on how their offseason trajectories are right now. I know that sounds crazy. We saw Michael Penix Jr. in first round mocks a little while ago. we're not going to see that anymore. That said, I think Rattler being here at 65 mm-hmm. gives you, I mean, I think Rattler comes in and probably takes that job from Aiden O'Connell as a rookie if he's matured and if he grasps yeah. the offense, which he's run offenses similar to what Getsy's going to try to run. So,
and I'd say unquestionably the intangible and arm talent wise, he's better than Aiden O'Connell. But coming into this season, especially Aiden O'Connell is reading defenses and being able to run an offense at a much higher level. So that's going to be sure. his biggest battle, because we know what he can do with that arm. It's just yeah. he needs to be more consistent and on the field and in between the helmet mm-hmm. on the field. But it, we've seen growth every year. It's definitely expected to keep going.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, here in the fourth, pick 113, we took Zach Zinter, guard from Michigan. This is a kid that I think he'd probably be drafted a little bit higher, but he got injured late in the year. His draft buzz is kind of just non-existent at this point, but good player, a guy that really anchored the Michigan run attack, rushing attack last year. A big reason why Blake Corum was able to continue being productive despite him kind of losing a step after his knee injury. Zinter is one of those guys that he's going to come in. I think he's like a plug and play type of guard. So I think he could challenge for a starting spot, maybe taking Greg Van Roten's job, but also being one of those left side, right side versatility guys. And if you can get that on day three, you're thriving.
Yeah. And worst case, he sits and is just a rotational player when needed the whole year and learns behind Van Roten, who's, you know, a 32-year-old vet who's played really well last year. I think that's a perfect situation for someone coming off a major injury really late in the season. Fifth round, getting some secondary help, safeties, you know, Sione Vaki from Utah, a versatile player that really in the fifth round, though, just getting a guy to be better depth at safety, which isn't the strongest position necessarily for the Raiders. Epps played pretty good last year. Morig has been consistent and getting better and making some big plays, but they really need to continue working on the secondary, and hopefully Vaki can grow into the free safety of the future this team needs. But worst case, we just get another body in that secondary, which is much needed.
And probably going to be a good special teams player, plays very hard. If, for those that don't know anything about Sione Vaki, he also plugged in at running back for Utah at one point this year and was fantastic. So it's ironic that our next pick here in the seventh is a running back, because Vaki could be that at the NFL level. Probably won't be. He's probably going to be a safety. But here in the seventh, pick 221, taking Michael Wiley. This is the running back from Arizona. He's a great, great pass catcher. He's one of those guys that you probably don't love the idea of throwing the ball to Zamir White if you do experience a Josh Jacobs injury. Michael Wiley allows you to get cheap at the position, but also have that RB3 where if you need to plug him in as a third down back, you're probably pretty comfortable with that. I don't necessarily know if Wiley's going to be there, but I ran a few different mock drafts to kind of sort this all out, and he was there every time. So I just took that as that's where his capital is right now. But I do think he's one of those guys that could rise through the combine as well. But hopefully Wiley's not playing much. Hopefully after paying $11.5 million to your starting running back, you're playing him a lot and running him into the ground a little bit.
Well, and they're basically letting three running backs walk from this depth chart, which is way too many running backs anyways. But they were both mainly pass catchers, so getting a guy that's more pass catching is a smart play, because it would be rotational if Zamir White has to take over for an injury again. It's smart to just get another body in that backfield. In worst case, if you think he's a back of the sixth round, there's 2 7th round picks, we could have traded up, whatever. But I kept doing that too. There was running backs there in the seventh and all the mocks, and I'm like, is Ali really gonna be here? No. So I'm not taking it, you know. So we'll see how the true value goes. Same with the quarterbacks. If both Knicks and Penix are in the second round, I'm not sure Rattler or Hall going, you know, or any of those guys are going in the late second or early third necessarily, just because 2 studs went already that round. So it might decrease the position a bit for a little bit of help. But there's enough capital for the Raiders there. They could have traded the fourth. They could have gotten a little bit higher. But I went for a team that needed draft picks.
Yeah, for sure. Glad you mentioned running backs leaving the depth chart. We're going to take a look at the new depth chart with all of our signings and our draft picks. So draft picks on this, if you're watching on YouTube, all the draft picks are in yellow. All the signings are in blue. And so you can see how defensive heavy we went with free agency and how offensive heavy we went with the draft, which is what teams tend to do. But just reading through it, Aiden O'Connell and Spencer Rattler are battling it out for quarterback. Josh Jacobs, Zamir White, Michael Wiley is your running backs. Left to right on the offensive line, you've got Colton Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James, Greg Van Roten, J.C. Latham, Zach Zinter is that rotational interior piece. Wide receivers, you still have Devontae Adams, you still have Jacoby Myers, and you still have Trey Tucker. Those are critical pieces last year. And then at tight end, you're hoping that Michael Mayer takes a step up. You're hoping that Trey Tucker takes a step up as well and gives you a decent assortment of weapons for these young quarterbacks. Randy, walk us through the defensive side.
Yeah, which is the killer side, which is what we need for two young battling quarterbacks on the other side with a running-focused offense. Max Crosby, Carl Lawson, Bryce Huff, Tyree Wilson, and Kuntz as your edge rushers with Christian Wilkins, Grover Stewart, Jerry Tillard, Adam Butler, who both had good rotational snaps last year as your 4D tackles. Good Lord. Robert Spillane, Devin White, and Divine Diablo as your two linebackers. They usually just do a two linebacker set. Both Spillane and Diablo improved last year, so adding White should be great. Jack Jones, Ja'Corian Bennett, TJ Tampa, Amik Robertson, and Nate Hobbs as your starting slash rotational corners. All super athletic and all guys that really want the ball, honestly. And with Jack Jones being a pet project of Pierce, who coached him in college and knows him and kind of revived his career, he's going to keep playing that hard, and I'm excited for that. And finishing out the secondary, Marcus Epps, Sione Vaki, and Trayvon Moehrig at safeties.
That's a fix if I've ever seen one, man. That was that's it takes a lot of money, but I think you made a good point that a lot of these players might be enticed to come play for Antonio Pierce because of you know, how charismatic he is, how well liked he is, how the team went to bat for him to make sure that he got that job. Just you don't always see that with head coaches and their team. And so I think drawing some of these guys, especially with all that money that they can throw around, is a realistic option this offseason. And I said before we started, this defense would give the Chiefs hell. I mean, the goal is always to win the AFC West for the Raiders. I think this gives you a fighting chance, though. You are still going to probably need your quarterback of the future. You are still going to have to replenish that wide receiver room soon. But for right now and for 2024, I think you're looking pretty good.
Yeah, and they will sign a bunch of depth receivers. We just didn't feel the need to put on three or four $985 to $1.25 million signings that just don't matter because the top three are who they're using.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that'll do it for this fix of the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll be back next week with another one. We'll have another NFL draft video coming to you. Kevin's got you covered on Dynasty content. If you are new to the channel, this is your first time, make sure you check out our Patreon, patreon.com/TheDevRoyale. Got a lot of fun stuff in the works. We've got a lot of fun stuff going on right now. Discord is popping as usual. So over there, $5 a month gets you a ton of content. It can really help you in your dynasty leagues. If you play in Debbie leagues, that's kind of where we focused as well. Randy, anything to add before we bounce?
I really hope the Raiders would do this. I don't know. Maybe half of it. I'd be pretty happy.
Honestly, you get one of the defensive tackles, get Bryce Huff, and you're in good shape. But we went crazy, and it was fun. So Raiders fans, let us know in the comments what you think. Do you think that this is a route that they would take? Do you think that this is a route that you want them to take? Leave a comment. Make sure you like this video as well, and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of that good content that we've got coming your way. Thank you guys for watching. We'll catch you guys next time.